that. He's getting an earful from Coach Ken Ackerman. There's an injured pile on the field, it looks like, too. I can't get a good visual on that. But the big gentleman for Milliken, there was a definite size advantage. Looked like a lineman who was wearing somewhere in the 90s. I didn't get the exact number. Was on top of them after that scuffle. And I'm guessing it'll be offsetting penalties. We'll see. And getting up was J.R. Muth there after the tackle. He seems fine. Steve Staub is walking with him. And it's against Milliken. 71. Sevion Jackson from Shreveport, Louisiana. Another freshman. 375-pound freshman. So I don't know if
Yeah.
So with the penalty, the Pioneers will take over in great field position at the 37-yard line of Milliken with 2 minutes left in the first half. Twin packages both sides. Legs is in on Raby's right, Nick Lagnoli. Ken Miller, the flanker, goes in motion, returns to the right. And it's a quick screen. No, double pass. Nope. Legs is just going to run it out. They're going to lose yardage on that. So a design play. Going to be almost like a halfback option there on a backward screen from Raby to Legs, but well covered by the Milliken defense. And also here in the flat, too, Legs really had nowhere to go except out of bounds with a two-yard loss. So second and 12 with 1:54 remaining. Twin packages, both sides, ball in the right hash at the 39. Marcus Johnson now on Raby's left. It's a quick screen to Johnson on the left. Well pursued. He breaks one tackle, though. Breaks the second one. He's got first down yardage. Finally pushed out of bounds at the 21-yard line. I'm not even sure, Greg, if he was going to get any positive yardage on that, but
way to make
some nifty footwork and elusiveness and strength breaking that last tackle. So the diaper dandy does it again for the Pios. They're setting up first down at the 22-yard line, first and 10, 1:45 remaining. Trips right, ball on the left hash, single receiver left. And I believe that's Marcus Johnson on Raby's right. Here's a snap. Flag is down, so it looks like a false start by the Pios. Yep, or legal procedure. The old 70s disco roll on the official call, the signal. So let's see.
Lots of penalties so far. These refs are calling this game close.
It sure is, yeah. Probably the most penalties called in the first half all season. So Pioneers looking to add to a 21-0 lead against visiting Milliken here in this CCIW matchup. So
a minute 45 left.
Yeah. This is a 46th meeting between the two schools and the gridiron in a series that dates back to 1942. As we return to live action, it's a trips right, single receiver left, 1:45 remaining. Ball at the 27, excuse me, of the Pios. Here's a snap. Raby looking to his right. Oh, he gets sacked, and the ball pops loose. It's still loose. And it looks like the Pios recover. Let's see. Let's see what the call is here. The Pios hang on. Mr. Whitman, the big hero there on the recovery.
What was up with that, Don? Did Josh?
Great. He got sacked right before the ball released. Kevin Whitman, after a couple attempts by Wilt Milliken to scoop the ball up, trips right, single receiver left here. And Raby rolling out right here, trying to buy some time. Oh, he was trying to hit Johnson underneath. Some heavy coverage. I thought Johnson might have been interfered on that. Number 84, Kuiyu Amuda, the sophomore from Riverdale, tripped up Johnson before he had a chance to catch it, so I'm surprised there was no call there. But two great pressures from the Milliken defense. But Raby and company are still out there with a third and 32. at the 45-yard line, so I'm surprised they're going for this, leading 21-0. I'm guessing that Raby's going to do a quick little boot here as some statistics sail across here. I think it came from the coach's box up above. Trips right, single receiver left, a long third and 32. That's right, it is only three. Oh, a draw to Marcus Johnson, and he fights all the way to the 36. So I stand corrected. I thought that was a fourth down play, but that was just third down, so. So they may be going for a field goal here. Yeah, I see Jake Laurent coming out. They're going to go for maybe a record here. This will be a 46-yarder. A 53-yarder from the spot of the hold. Clock running, 45 seconds and counting here in the opening half as they waited for the center to come out. Some confusion here on the field goal team here. 33 seconds and counting. And time is called, I believe. Timeout by Carroll. So smart timeout because there was a lot of people running in and out there, some real confusion. So, hey, and actually, let's keep it here because we're almost at halftime. Piles leading 21-0. They're going for a long field goal here, trying to make it 24-0 with 30 seconds left. And as I mentioned, these two teams first met in 1942, which resulted in a 3-0 Milliken victory. The Pioneers won last year's meeting 26-18, which snapped a five-game losing streak to the Big Blue, whom Carroll hadn't defeated since 1991 due to the Piles leaving the CCIW, but returning to the conference two decades later. Carroll's longest winning streak in this series is three, which has happened three times, while Milliken's longest such streak is nine games from 78 to 86. So history favors Milliken overall. But here on this senior day, it's been pretty much all Carroll here.
Yep. Milliken's been shut out thus far. And similarly to, I don't think they scored any points in that Wheaton game last
week. I don't think they did either, yeah. Oops, sorry. As I step on myself. So here it is, a 46-yard attempt from scrimmage or 53-yarder from the spot for Jacob Laurent. And another timeout is called here. As the kick goes off, maybe they're trying to ice him. And, oh, I think he made that kick. That was very close. Ross, did he make that? Is this a hair short? So, who called that timeout? Milliken again? So two timeouts in a row. And let's see here.
Is icing the kicker still a thing? I don't know.
Yeah, you know. Well, and that's the thing. You have 30 seconds left. You could have hung on to that timeout. Milliken does still have one timeout, but he could have used that second one with 30 seconds left. Lawrence's kick was about a hair short, so Milliken would have had the ball with decent field position. And if nothing else, could have marched down to set up a field goal or, heck, maybe even a Hail Mary. So here comes the field goal unit out again. And what do you think? Do you try a fake here, Triple G? Or does Laurent just put some more juice in that leg?
I don't know.
So 46-yard attempt legally or technically, 53 from the spot. Here's the snap, the hold, the kick. It gets blocked! And it's going to die right around the 5-yard line. And it's Milliken will take over, I believe, from the spot of the kick. So 21 seconds remaining in the first half.
Now if you're Milliken, do you Hail Mary it? Do you try to?
You know, what do you have to lose? You're trailing 21-0, you're 0-8, but I think you just got to play it smart. You try maybe a 10-yard out pattern to a receiver and then make sure he's the only one that can get to it.
Yep.
So you don't have to waste the timeout. Maybe set up a second pass that, you know, again, same thing. That you get a closer midfield, then you air it out for the Hail Mary. Maybe hope to draw an interference play or a...
Yeah.
So we'll see. But here they come. We'll know if they get in that victory formation. Yeah, and it looks like it's the victory formation for Milliken, even though they're trailing 21-0. Lombardo's going to go under center here, take the champagne to the locker room. And that should be the last play of the half. And Milliken will start the half with the ball, but they've got a long way to go, trailing 21-0 to our beloved Pioneers, who do not disappoint in this first half, especially with 2 second-quarter touchdowns. So we look forward to seeing the stats We're going to take a one-minute break here as we begin halftime with the Pioneers leading Big Blue of Milliken 21-0. Calvin, take it away.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Thank you, Carter, from the basketball team, handing me off the first half stats. Welcome back to Schneider Stadium on a beautiful, picturesque autumn day here at the campus of Carroll University, this Wisconsin's Pioneer University. And, you know, if you're in marketing for Carroll, Greg Wantsnyder, this is a day to get out with your digital people, capture some great images here.
Yes.
Both video and still life. Beautiful colors on the trees, buildings looking very majestic. And and the dance team out in the field with Pio Pete entertaining us.
Team.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we're having some fun here. So in a review of first half stats, obviously the most important one, Carroll ahead of Milliken, 21-0. They have 12 first downs to 4 versus Milliken. Rushing yards, 20 carries for 44 yards for Milliken. 17 for 52 for Carroll. Passing attempts, Aiden Lombardo, 2 for 5 with 1 interception. Josh Raby, 9 for 16, no interceptions. Total offense for Milliken, 25 plays, 53 yards. For Carroll, 33 plays, 173 yards. So big stat there. Kickoff return yardage, Milliken, actually punt return yardage, 1 for 1. Carroll, 2 for 33 yards. And then let's just see here. Third down conversions, big one. Milliken, 1 of 7, a big tribute to the testament to the Pio defense. And Carroll, 3 of 6 on third down conversions, so a big tribute to Coach Buda's offense. So we look at the passing column. Raby has 121 yards with one TD. His longest throw was a 31-yard pass, and he was sacked once. Aiden Lombardo is 2 for 5 with one interception, 9 yards total. His longest a 10-yard pass, and he's been sacked twice. So in the rushing department, Marcus Johnson leads the Pios with 3 carries for 32 yards, as long as 17. Actually, these are receiving yards, excuse me. Marcus Johnson has 31 yards and 7 carries. Jake Netchen has 18 yards and 5 carries. Both Johnson and Netchen have touchdowns for the Pios. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mikey Coleman is 1 for 7 yards. And Kevin Whitman, 0 for 0. So that whole time I thought it was Nick Legnoli running. It was actually Jake Netchen. So my apologies. I believe Nick may still be an injured reserve. He didn't play last week against Carthage. Receiving, Jer Muth, 4 receptions for 49 yards, his longest a 31-yarder. Marcus Johnson, 3 receptions for 32 yards and 36 yards after catch. His longest was a 17-yarder. Mikey Coleman, 1 for 1 for 21 yards with 19 yards after catch. And his longest, 21 yards. Austin Eichstadt, looks like 1 reception on 5 attempts for 9 yards, 5 yards after catch. So, like any defense, you're keying on Eichstadt. And in that score column, Milliken's doing a good job. So, but again, well, it looks like Eichstadt isn't necessarily getting the looks or the yardage that you expect. That heavy emphasis on him is creating opportunities for the rest of the receiving corps in the running game. So, as it shows here in the numbers, Noah Streveler has punted 2 times for 87 yards, so 43.5 yard average, as long as 46 yards. once inside the 20. Lucas Mosqueda has had four punts for 136 total yards. His average is 34 yards, and his longest is 37. So where else are we looking here? Keon Miller has one kick return for 27 yards. And Darian Suber has one return for 25 yards, and Matthew Salazar has one for 12 yards for the Big Blue. Tackles, Nick Montes leads the Pios with six total tackles, one unassisted. Steven Lazarus has five with two unassisted. Montes gets credit for one sack. Damon Loker has three assisted tackles, and Jake Binkowski has three tackles with two unassisted. So for Big Blue, Colin Hancock leads all tacklers with five, one unassisted. James Parody has five with four unassisted. Jaskari Connor has four tackles with two unassisted, and Christopher Montgomery has three with one unassisted. And again, Piles got on the board first with 10:37 when Marcus Johnson, the freshman, had a seven-yard touchdown run. They then scored again in the second quarter with 11:20 left when Trevor Hancock caught a seven-yard pass from Josh Raby. And then with 6:03 left in the second quarter, Jake Netchen pushed a two-yard run in for, I believe, his first touchdown of the season. So great to have his senior, a big day for the senior there. And so, again, it's you couldn't ask for a better day weather-wise. Performance-wise, Pio's doing their job offensively and defensively. And, Greg, what are your thoughts so far?
Well, you know, it's good to see. It's funny. I brought up to the coaches this week at breakfast. I said, Don and I would like to see Josh Raby run a little
bit more. Is
that what
you said? And throwing me under the bus, Greg.
I know. But
I wonder Coach Buda doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
No, just kidding. But and sure enough, Raby's ran for a few yards today. That's really,
you know, one looked like a design run, and another looked like, hey, you know what? This is my path of least resistance, and here I'm going to get some positive yardage and keep those defenders honest, and that's going to create more opportunities. And so, and it's smart running too. It's not like he's trying to knock anyone over. He's taking that slide when he has to.
Yeah. So yeah, just to, you know, recognize some of the other seniors though. Jacob Laurent has done outstanding on kickoffs.
He sure has.
Season.
Yep.
You know, and I haven't told coaches this, but we've critiqued the squib kick before. You know why so many squib kicks? But
right.
But he's today. He's come out. He's played like a true football player, and all his kickoffs have been really good, and he
sure have
almost. If that first field goal may have counted, I mean, he was short by a little bit, but
on the first one, yeah, it was pretty darn close, and then the second one, of course, was blocked. But yeah, you know, you just the Pios have been good about minimizing mistakes. I know there were a few penalties called on formation, and there was an offensive interference, but they're making the plays they have to. The snaps are good to the punter. Passes, there was some confusion on some pass plays, some dangerous plays, if you will.
Yeah.
But, again, Carroll's been moving the ball well. They've been using different players, which is key. And,
yes.
You know, a lot of times in high school and here in the college ranks, it's like you dance with a girl that brought you, and you become so reliant on those primary players that you're almost afraid to throw to the other players or hand off to different players. But, you know, again, the mark of a great team, a championship team, is one that utilizes all of its weapons and really spreads that defense out and keeps them guessing. And that's what it looks like Coach Buda and company have been doing. And Coach Ackerman, with some of these plays, there's been a couple beautiful plays underneath the coverage. Like that touchdown to Trevor Hancock going from his right to the left, that opened up beautifully. And they're running the ball well, too.
Yeah, and it's good to see the freshman, Marcus Johnson,
it really
running
is.
The ball.
Yeah.
That gives you a lot of hope for the future, you know?
And, you know, and here's where we got to be careful in the second half. If we remember in the Carthage game, Austin Eichstead had his way with the starting cornerback, who had a deep cushion on him most of the half. And what started as these great passes underneath for 5-10-yard gains then erupted into longer plays as they would do pump fakes and whatnot. And but in the second half, they took a freshman named Isaiah Bird, lights out speed and quickness, and he stayed with Eichstad the whole time and basically shut him down. And so Milken, you got to figure you're going to give some more freshmen some touches here and some what you call serious, you know, real situations where you want them to deliver. And so Carroll's got to come out dancing, especially since Milken will start the half with the ball. I'm sure Milken wants to make a statement here, because if Lombardo and company can do anything with this opening drive, suddenly it's a game again. It's no longer 21-0, it's 21-7 with plenty of time to go.
Right.
So here's where the Milken defense really has to open things up here. Like to see some aggressiveness on defense. And what we have seen from Milken is maybe an unwillingness to throw the ball downfield as much as Carroll likes to. They've been running the ball a lot. Lombardo's been running off of some fakes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that'll be the key for Milken is are they going to take some chances and put the ball, throw the ball a little bit further than 5 or 10 yards and try to stretch this Carroll defense? If they're not, I think Carroll's going to do a good job of anticipating and especially after giving up that first offensive play of the game for Milken. It was a 30-yard run and some missed tackles primarily that I'm sure Coach Pfeffer and Coach Buda had some choice words for them after that play that Carroll has essentially, shut it down. So,
yeah,
let's see what Milken comes back here at the second half as we go to a one-minute break here in the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Pioneer's leading 21-0 at halftime. And, be sure to listen to these important messages, and we'll be right back. Calvin, take it away.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Welcome back to Schneider Stadium, home of the Pios.
As the seniors from the marching band are being introduced, good day for all seniors. You know, last home game for these guys, and I'm sure it's bittersweet for everyone.
It sure is.
You know,
I'd like to read a few quotes from our seniors that we missed in the open. We weren't, because they started honoring the seniors before the broadcast began. But Jake Laurent, your good buddy from Kenosha, a sociology major, had a great quote here. He says, from the soccer pitch to the football field, and from nursing to firefighting, I realize that life changes. I wouldn't change it for the world. Thank you to my family, friends, and coaches for being my backbone in my journey. Barstool Carroll will live on. Inside joke there. I'd like to know what that's all about. But, Jake Laurent, Coach Buda says they managed to pull him away from the soccer field and the soccer team where he was breaking records as a freshman to get him to join the Pio football unit as their kicker. And
I believe Barstool Carroll is an Instagram account, and
was that right?
TikTok too.
sure.
Are you on TikTok, Tom?
I am. I spend too much time on TikTok, but I have seen some really good quotes and good things. And it's good catching up on shows. But real quick, Steven Lazaris, number 54, the phys ed and health major from Colgate, to Mike and Laura Lazaris, he says, "Thank you, Mom and Dad, for everything. I am who I am because of you. Thank you for always believing me and supporting me through thick and thin." So Nick Montes, a finance and business analytics major from Northbrook, Illinois, from Glenbrook North High School, where Breakfast Club was filmed, as we see both teams coming out of the locker rooms now to start the second half. Nick Montes says, "Thank you, Carol, for the past 4.5 years of memories I'll never forget, and for the friends I'll always have. And then who else was there? Tyler McLean, a reserve quarterback who holds extra points and field goals. He says, thank you to my parents, coaches, teammates, and loved ones for all your support for the past 4 years. To my teammates and coaches, thank you for the great football and team experience. Love you all. Keon Miller, a sports administration major from Richland Center. We have a great radio station out there, too, in Richland Center. It's been out since 1949. But Keon says, thank you to my parents for always supporting me during my years of football and the rest of my family and friends as well. A.J. Moore, another sports administration major from TOSA. He says, thank you to all the coaches for this amazing opportunity. J.R. Muth, the nursing major from Greendale. He says, I am extremely grateful for being a part of the Carroll football, all caps, family. From great moments on the field to even greater bonds created with teammates, this experience wouldn't be traded for the world. I want to thank my mom and dad, my uncle Matt Strait and Brianna for always being in my corner and supporting my career. Thank you, coaches, for the lifelong lessons and bonds we have created. Your future is only as good as the work you put in. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. So I love that. Jake Netchen, who scored a touchdown, the third touchdown, sports admin major from Glendale Heights. Thank you, Mom. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for all your support over the years. I love you. So, and I think I've covered everybody here.
And I'd like to thank Don Brown. My quote for Don is, thanks for the snacks in the booth today.
The gourmet sandwich, excuse me.
Yes, yes, the gourmet.
Dark Forest ham with salami. And we're out. I usually like provolone, but all we had left was American, so I went American. And some mustard there, some French's, I believe. And some goldfish crackers, some healthy snacks, and trail mix. So, I got Triple G covered here. And Triple G said he brought snacks, too, so I can't wait till he breaks those out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, he's got some cashews. So
some cashews.
That's right. Should I go ahead and open these then?
Yeah.
From Miss from Planners, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Some
thanks
great
to,
stuff.
Thanks to Karen and Jeff Juan Snyder, my parents, for
nice.
Helping me. You know, a man is only as good as his parents, Don.
That's true.
Yeah.
A favorite quote from my mother, who's smiling down at us, was from Abraham Lincoln, which was, all that I am and hope to be, I owe to my mother.
Yes.
Truer words cannot have been written
yes.
or spoken.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
So now, are you going to have some of these cashews? Or
I
you?
Am.
Okay,
I
here
am.
You go. I'm right here, so just turn around. Yep, there you go. You got it?
Wish Calvin could have some of these cashews. Calvin, I'm sad to say these won't make it.
Won't make it back to the old 217, yeah. But I'm sure Calvin's enjoying some sushi right now or a steak sandwich. Or maybe he got a – have you had the tilapia sandwich yet from People's Park?
I have. Yes, it's really good.
Love it. As well as that chicken breast sandwich with the avocado there and the some spice. Boy, that's a – some great choices there at People's Park.
Yeah.
So.
What's your review of the Planters cashews there, Doc?
They exceed expectations there, Greg. Love me some cashews.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for all of you listening. Maybe you're eating your mid-afternoon snack listening on WUK The Shaw. Remember, you can keep in touch as they're announcing the 50-50 raffle here. You can keep in touch with us all the time on our website at WUKRadio.com or by downloading the Civic Media app.
I love it.
We've got a big ice cream social coming up on campus, Don.
When's that?
November 13th.
November 13th. That's a Monday.
Yeah, that's a Monday. Yes.
So
8 p.m.
8 p.m. And, Greg, I need your help with this one. I was supposed to have a guest call into the show from the county veterans, but he ghosted me. But there is a veterans town hall and resource fair here at Carroll on Monday, November 6th. I don't know if you know the location and the time. I was hoping that my caller would provide that, but he never called. But do you know anything about that here on campus?
I do not.
Okay.
But hopefully we can provide that information to
We'll have to ask around.
Yeah.
See if anybody here knows when the Veterans Town Hall and Resource Fair is. It's pretty busy here in the box. Everyone's kind of got their own thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
we've got the Milliken broadcasters and
no, there's no Milliken broadcasters.
Oh, really?
No. Nope. Okay. So unless they're hiding, but I don't. They're not here in the box. Okay. Triple G.
We've got Dean and Ross.
We got Dean and Ross on the live stream. Yeah. So, but I doubt they would know. I'm hoping to catch Carter here. Carter might know, but so we're going to give some more information on that because obviously it's important to our veterans. And what's going on later today, and you can still catch the piles, is from 2:30 to 4, there is a care package drive for the veterans at the, is it, which one is on Baxter? Is that Schutz or is, no, that, Skirts?
That's the Schutz.
Schutz.
Yeah.
2:34 care drive, then 4:36, a salute to our veterans.
Schutz,
yeah. Yeah. And keynote speaker is Tim Lesage, a Marine, retired sergeant with two Purple Hearts and 3 or 4 Navy commendations. So you want to meet a real live American hero, check out Sushi. There'll be a free dinner and entertainment that goes till 6, and a great way to salute our veterans. And don't forget the 10:45 ceremony next Saturday at Veterans Park here on Weston, Wisconsin. But Laurent getting ready to kick off, and the two diaper dandies from Milliken, Bibbs and Reese back to return. Bibbs and Suber, excuse me. And it's going to be Suber from the 10 to the 20, pushing forward close to the 30. Oh, he breaks some tackles. He's still on his feet. Finally brought down at the 37 of Milliken. So good extra effort there by the diaper dandy. Number 10 for, where is his name? Yes, Darian Suber, the 5'6", 155-pound freshman from South Haven, Mississippi, Ridgeway High School. So you got to love that extra effort from those diaper dandies looking to get some starting time, maybe before the season ends or in future seasons. But so here comes Lombardo and company. Ball on the left hash at the 37 of Milliken. Twins left, single receiver right, tailback on his left. He looks to his left. High pass. Wallace, the intended receiver, had a finger on it, but couldn't. It was too high for him. So second and 10. So that was Javian Wallace. And after the tip, the other receiver almost had a shot at that.
And Javian Wallace got taken out of last week's game due to injury. But
oh, wow.
It's good,
it's good to see him back, yeah.
He's back for.
Trips right, tailback on Lombardo's left. And it's going to go to the tailback. No, fake. And he has to throw it away because Will Campbell's there. Coach Buddha calling for an in-the-grasp sack, but nope, they're not calling that. Or are they? Let's see where the ref's standing. Nope, it's going to go back to the line of scrimmage. Coach Buddha still lobbying with the line judge. A flag is being thrown now. I don't know what that's about. That could be intentional grounding after reviewing. Maybe that's what Coach Buddha wanted. Because I don't know if he wasn't out of the pocket, right? You have to be out of the pocket?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was a nearby receiver. So it's as good as a sack if they call the intentional grounding.
Yeah, let's see what they call here.
14:43 remaining in the third quarter. They're calling it intentional grounding, so it's not a sack. But Will Campbell gets credit for forcing the negative yardage. That's going to go all the way back to the 30 and create a third and 17. Right at the 30-yard line, ball on the right hash, a key play for the Pio defense. Here comes Big Blue out of the huddle. Trips left, no receivers right. Double tight end. Haggerty on Lombardo's left.
And we have a whistle.
We do have a whistle, my man. They had to reset the clock, I think, here. Yeah, Ian Haggerty. Here's a snap. Lombardo back to pass. He slips. He's moving around. Heavy pressure. And another Pio sack. Steven Lazarus gets his name called. In a team effort as they force Lombardo. That play was dead from the beginning. I think they wanted to get a quicker pass off. It was well covered. As Lucas Mosquito comes back to punt. Jaramuth at the Pioneer 40-yard line to receive. 14-14 and counting. Steven Lazarus.
Stop there.
Yep.
For...
great sack from the junior from Colgate. Here's the snap. Heavy pressure. And it's going to bounce. Muth fields at the 39, gets around one tackle, and goes out of bounds at his own 45-yard line. So great position for the Pios here to start the second half after kind of a three and out with some penalties and whatnot and intentional grounding. So Pioneers looking to add to a 21-0 lead and really a potential knockout punch if they can score here.
Yeah.
Even if it's a field goal. The way that Milliken's been moving offensively this game, I don't think they're going to be able to get four scores in the time remaining. But stranger things have happened here. Ball on the left hash at the 45 of Carroll. Twins right, single receiver left. Marcus Johnson on Raby's left. It's going to go to Johnson, who runs right up the middle of the left. And he pushes forward. 6 or 7 yardage. 6 or 7 yards. And looking for the tackler on that for Milliken. That tackler for Milliken was hanging on for his life. I'm trying to get to who that number was. I think it was James Parody, the sophomore from Milwaukee, Illinois. So, Twins right, single receiver, left ball on the left hash here at the 48-yard line. A second and three for the Pioneers. Johnson on Raby's right. Reed Breckheimer, tight end wing right. 13-16 and counting. Shotgun for Raby. Here's the snap. It's going to go to Johnson again. And this time there's a host of Big Blue ready to meet him. Coming from the left. And that was Big Braxton Coleman, the 6'1", 225-pound junior from Antioch, Tennessee, with that tackle for loss. So now make that a 3rd and 5 after the 2-yard loss. And a great heads-up play here by the left defensive end. There were three Big Blue back there. So that play was doomed from the start. A high snap, too, to Raby also kind of took some timing off of that. Trips right. Ball at the 50-yard line. Trips right. No receivers left. Josh Hill goes in motion now to the left. Johnson on Raby's left. Here's the snap. Raby looking downfield. He's got J.R. Muth for first down yardage there. And that was all Raby coming out of some heavy coverage as the pocket collapsed. He cut through, rolled out to his left, and hit Muth on an out pattern there. Ball spotted at the Milliken 41 as they move the chains. 12-13 and counting. Pyle's looking to add to a 21-0 lead here. And a great job bouncing back after that tackle for loss, Greg. Here come the Pyos.
Yeah.
Ball in the 41 left hash. Twins right. Tight end wing right. Johnson on Raby's right. Breckheimer now goes in motion to the left. It's a handoff to Johnson here on the left, and really nowhere to go. Well covered. Christopher Montgomery with the stop.
Yeah, Johnson could go absolutely nowhere. He was swarmed under.
Yep, so they're calling that no gain. 2nd and 10 as the clock winds, 11:32 and counting. 2nd and 10, ball on the left hash still. Twins right, single receiver left. That single receiver is Josh Hill. Johnson on Raby's left.
Be great to see Hill get in the game here.
Sure would. Here's the snap. Quick pass over the middle. He's got a guy. It's caught. That's Trevor Hancock for a short gain. Well covered there by the Big Blue. They'll make that about a, we'll call it a 4-yard gain here. So it's going to be 3rd and 6 at the Milliken 37. As Keon Miller comes into the game, into the receiving core now. And now we're going to have four receivers, twin packages both sides. On the left, it's Hill, the split end, J.R. Muth, the flanker, and then Keon Miller's the flanker on the right with Eichstad, the split end on the right. And Johnson on Raby's left here. Big 3rd and 6 play, 10:41 and counting, 21-0 Pioneer lead. Raby gets the snap. He's looking to his right. Going downfield, he's got Keon Miller. It's cut. Miller's got some room. He goes to the 10, 5, touchdown, Pios!
Wow.
And the senior gets a touchdown, Keon Miller from Richland Center.
Yes.
What a great moment there. Great pass from Raby on an apparent timing pattern. Miller is cutting outside, then cut it back to the inside. And the coverage there, I think the guy stumbled or something, which gave Miller enough space to keep going towards the middle and just run it in unmolested. Untouched the whole way down as Jake Lawrence comes. Tyler McLean holding. Snap, hold, all good, and so is the extra point attempt.
And with 10:29 remaining, the Pioneers lead the Big Blue of Milliken 28-0. We'll be back after this quick 30-second message. Calvin, take it away, please.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
It's all you, Greg.
Back at Schneider Stadium, Don Brown and I with a Carroll Pioneer 21-0.
28-0 now after a 27-yard touchdown pass, 37-yard touchdown pass from Raby.
Raby
to Miller,
Keon Miller,
the senior from Richland Center, where our affiliate WRCE is. How'd he do on that one, Greg?
I think WRCE will have a lot to talk about.
Sounds
they
good.
Have their own local sports show
nice.
There.
A long kick from Laurent, and it's going to go to Suber again at the 5. He's running to his right. Has a little bit of seal. He's got a big opening. And tackled at his own 45. Touchdown saving tackle there by number 8, J.R. Muth. So the senior getting his name in the paper again. Boy, I thought the diaper dandy was going to take that yard.
Yeah, yeah.
But as it is, he gives Milliken great field position at their own 45. No flags. So here comes Big Blue in all white with blue numbers and blue helmet with the Gilthorpe Milford M, the white M logo type. Twin packages both sides, ball in the right hash at the 45 of Milliken. Tailback on Lombardo's right. Here's the snap. Going downfield, he's got a guy, it's caught. Oh, he drops the ball after the catch. They're going to call it an incomplete pass, though. He almost had that long enough for that to be a fumble. Great hit there by the Drake Emanuel. First time we're calling his name today. But the Drake is known for his hard hitting and great reaction. Oh, thank you. Oh, wow. Scored a caramel, almond, and sea salt bar for my good friend Triple G here.
We've got the snacks going on in the booth, you guys.
The sophomore from Rockton, Illinois. So second and 10, Twins left, single receiver right. Here's a snap. Lombardo goes to his right in the flat. He's got the tight end, number 88. Lazarus with the tackle for a short gain. Big third down play. That was Don Starling, the 6-foot freshman, another diaper dandy from this guy from Jeffersonville, Indiana. So another key play, 3rd and 7 for the Pio D.
Come on, Pios. Let's stop them.
Can we register another sack or maybe get that pick six that we were denied in the first half?
Yes.
Ball on the right hash, 48 of the Milliken. Twins right, Twins left, single receiver right. Salazar on Lombardo's left. Here's a snap. Heavy pressure. Lombardo gets off, and it's way overthrown. Intended for Ezra Burtis, the freshman from El Dorado, Illinois. I didn't know Illinois had an El Dorado. We'll have to look up where that is.
Yeah.
So, the Pio defense does its job again. Pitching a shutout here in the second half or throughout the game so far. As Mosqueda, whose name we've called a lot, comes in. This is probably the 6th punt attempt for the Big Blue today. J.R. Muth back at the 21, the farthest back he's been to receive a punt. 9:33 remaining in the third quarter. Here's the snap. Kind of a lazy snap there. Gets the punt off, though. It's fielded at the 18 by Muth. He's going to run to his left. And tripped up, but gets to the 24. So about a 6-yard return. And the Pioneers will take over their own 24. The deepest I think they've started, maybe perhaps in the whole game. And it's like what Coach Mike Dicka used to say, Greg, that if you can force the opponent to start within its own 20 or deep in its own territory 80% of the time, you're going to win the game. And
yeah,
that may not be the case here, but Pios have started the ball in great field position throughout most of the game. And
yeah.
So, hey, Terry Thieme just texted, the County VSO is sponsoring a Veterans Resource event in Town Hall right here at Carroll in the Stackner Ballroom. I should have known.
Twins right, single receiver left. Tight end wing right. Mikey Coleman on Rabies right. Here's a snap. Oh, heavy pressure, and he just throws that. That could be a fumble. They're calling it a fumble, recovered by Milliken. Raby just got ambushed by the entire, it was like a team photo there. And I thought he was just trying to get the pass off. It looked like he was kind of almost intentionally grounding it, but I think the way that the ball moved like that, I'm surprised nobody from Carroll's disputing it, but a big break. So to finish my message here from Terry, it's in the Stackner Ballroom, Monday, November 6th, the Veterans Town Hall, from 4 to 6:30. And Terry's going to send me a flyer for the event. So I'm really glad. Thanks, Terry, for listening
Thank
and for
you,
sharing
Terry.
That. Yep.
Yes.
Terry,
yes.
A proud Marine.
By the way.
And served the Waukesha Police Department for 30 years before, I believe, giving at least a dozen years on our city council and now with our county legislature. So a great, great American. So here comes Milliken in their best field position in a long time at the Pioneer 28-yard line. Trips right, single receiver left. Here's a snap. And there's going to be a holding call. Lombardo is forced out of the pocket. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, Triple G, and I'm going to assign number 74, Nicholas Matthews, the left tackle, the freshman out of Bartlett, Tennessee. And so you notice a trend here. I'm naming a lot of diaper dandies. And Terry just sent the flyer through here. Yep, it is a holding offense, so they will move that ball back.
Yeah. And the refs picking up their whistle a lot
yep.
this game. This is more whistles, I think, than we've seen. And
there sure is. So the highlights of this Veterans Resource event, with the town hall meeting to follow, is there will be health care enrollment, in-person assistance, help with state claim benefits for the GI Bill, and answers to benefit questions in person. Now, I'll return to this after this play. So first and 20 at the 39 of Milliken. Twins right, single receiver left. Salazar on Lombardo's left. Lombardo's rolling left now. It looks like a keeper. He's not going anywhere. And finally whistled down there. Jagger Vine, but before Vine, there was Will Campbell. So a designed rollout play where I think even Lombardo was going to look to try to run it. Went nowhere. It's going to be a loss of at least 2 yards as the refs are standing at the 42. So Milliken continues to go backwards here in this big opportunity following a turnover. Another big sack on Raby, their second of the game. So make it second and 21 here. So there's going to be local resources for veterans. There'll be a visit with your local post. Everyone attending will be entered to win a pair of Milwaukee Bucks tickets. And you can call to register at 262-548-7732. I'll get right back to that second. Trips right. No receivers left. And it's a short pass into the flat to a receiver. He breaks one tackle, gets a positive yardage, but still far from a first down as the ball dies at the – it stopped at the 34.
Good. And then you can before attending that event, you can stop in the main dining room and have breakfast. Yep. Veterans get free breakfast. On
I love that
on Veterans Day. So
and that yeah. number to register for the Veterans Resource event in Town Hall is again 262-548-7732. You can also go to waukeshacounty.gov/veterans. So big they're gonna go for it. Actually it's 3rd and 17 here. Trips left, no receivers. Lombardo rolls out left. He's under some pressure. He's trying to run out of trouble. He gets it off and it's caught. Pushed out of bounds, but a big catch there. Short of a first down, but.
I think they said by Burtis.
That was Ezra Burtis. And now you have a more manageable 4th and 5. I would think that Milliken's going to go for this here, trailing 28-0, 7-12 and counting in the third quarter.
Yeah.
So and we'll get back to this handbill. When we get more of a break here. Big fourth down play here as Carroll actually huddles. Clock continues to run under 7 minutes now in the third quarter. Nice play for Lombardo there, running out of trouble. Finds Burtis there near the sideline for about a 12-yard gain. So 4th and 3 from the Pio 21. Lombardo gets a snap. He's going for the end zone. Incomplete. And there could have been a holding call there. Will Campbell is just getting molested by one of the big linemen, for one of the big right linemen for Milliken. So, but no penalty, no foul, and Carroll happy to take it. There was great coverage too on that attempted pass in the end zone on the right side. Well covered there by, I believe that was Amarian Bridges. So Pioneer Aviation takes over again on downs. This might be the first time on downs this game that they've gotten the ball back. Usually it's been a punt. Mm-hmm. There was at least one turnover.
Yep, yep.
So, but the other concern is, you know, they've gotten to Raby, this Milliken D, and so they got to give him some more protection here.
Yeah.
Twins left, single receiver right, ball at the 20-yard, the 21-yard line here. Mikey Coleman on Raby's left. Quick snap, Raby goes to his right to Eichstad. Oh, couldn't hang on to it. He was catching it in the air. Well covered by Devin Miller, number one. For,
well,
for Milliken.
Like you said, Don, they're going to cover Eichstad. They know that he's one of Raby's intended targets, you know.
Sure is,
on any play, so they're going to cover
him. It was a good ball. It's kind of a jump ball where, you know, Eichstad has a huge height advantage. So, Twins left, single receiver right, tight end wing right, Coleman on Raby's left. Raby does a hard count, then looks to the sidelines here. 6:34 still, counting. Or not counting, excuse me. Handoff. To Mikey Coleman. He drops the ball. Milliken say they got it. The ball is stripped, and Milliken gets another turnover in Pio territory. So Milliken is not giving up here. And they created that one. Our running backs do a good job of hanging on to that ball, but it was a good job stripping it by Milliken. Couldn't get a number on the strip there, but. So again, another golden opportunity for Milliken here at their own 21. And you know, here is they're in kind of the red, I guess you'd say the red zone for Carroll. Milliken's had some success running the ball.
Yeah.
And so if they can execute, they can move the chains and maybe get that ball across the goal line. Let's see. But Pioneers, I believe, have other plans.
They've also shown us some trickery, too, on
that's
offense.
That's true. So ball on the left hash here, Carroll 20. Twins left, single receiver right. Lombardo gets the snap, looks to his right, well covered. Oh, a flag is called on Ja'Kai Bohan, and I thought the coverage was good, but they thought he was a little early. So that was Cord Miller, the intended receiver. I'm calling it pass interference. So that'd be an automatic first down. So, and they're marking it at the spot of the foul because they're in the red zone. So now it's a first and kind of a first and five here from the 15 of Carroll. As the big blue huddle here. Clock is stopped with 6:24 left after the penalty. No, it is it's first and 10 here from the 15. So trips right, ball on the right hash, single receiver left. Haggerty on the left. It's a short pass to Haggerty in the flat. He's got he drops it. He might have had some space to get to the end zone. Although the Drake Emmanuel was in heavy pursuit. So what should have been positive yardage, possibly a touchdown, turns out to be a dropped incomplete pass from the backup running back, Ian Haggerty.
Yeah, you haven't seen their first running back since the beginning. I wonder if something happened.
He was Salazar was in there earlier in the series,
I guess.
And then so Haggerty just came in, but they have a lot of confidence in Haggerty. He's still in there. Second and 10, ball at the 15. Twins left, single receiver right, ball on the right hash, and a timeout is being called. And that'll be called by Milliken, their first of the half. And during this timeout, Calvin, let's take a quick station identification here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Calvin, take it away, please.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
As we come back to Schneider Stadium here in Waukesha, Wisconsin, thanks for listening. It's Don Brown and Triple G broadcasting live here. And Don, 28-0, but the Big Blue have definitely had their chances.
They sure have. And while we have this break, too, I want to, if finish up with the information that Terry Thieme, the Veterans Resource Event here at 4:30 p.m. at Carroll's Stackner Hall, calling veterans of all ages. Resource tables will be available as early as 4 p.m. Town hall starts at 6. The town hall meeting provides an open opportunity for the Waukesha community to discuss veterans. Let me see if I can read this. Related topics. So here comes Milliken here on a 2nd and 10. Here's the snap. Lombardo looking towards the end zone in the corner, and it's just short. Well covered there by Jake Binkowski. And the pass was short. I think in spite of the coverage, it was intended for Javion Wallace. If that pass had a little more elbow grease on it, it would have been catchable. And in spite of the coverage from Binkowski, it was a corner pattern. So they had the right idea there. So we now have 3rd and 10 here with 6:14 remaining in the third quarter. And Milliken had an opportunity earlier on a heavy pressure that caused Raby to fumble the ball, but just kept going backwards and couldn't convert. So Twins left, tight package right. Here's the snap. He fakes the handoff. He's going downfield again, and it's intercepted. Ja'Kai Bohannon. A big pick in the end zone here. So the ball should be touched back. And a Pioneer shaken up, a Big Blue shaken up on the field. That's the quarterback, Lombardo. Not a good sign as he's standing up. But he's favoring his right leg, it looks like. He might have stepped on somebody there. But Ja'Kai Bohannon, another diaper Danny, the freshman from Milwaukee's Tosa West High School, the Trojan, now a pile. And great coverage on that. They were looking all the way, trying to hit Ezra Burtis this time on the left side. And Ja'Kai Bohannon was not having it.
I talked to Ja'Kai this week. I said, a few more interceptions, because he's had some interceptions, or at least close to interceptions this year. He's like, got it.
Yep.
You know.
Good news for Milliken is Guy Lombardo seems to be walking off a little bit better. He's still kind of favoring that right leg, but seems to be more comfortable on it. So I believe he may return. But here's Raby and company. Ball at the 20. Twins left, single receiver right. The tailback on the right is Marcus Johnson. He gets a quick pass, breaks one tackle, and gets first down yardage to about the 31-yard line. So the Pios move the chains early. Let's see. They're moving the chains. 1st and 10. Clock continues to wind. 6 minutes and counting in the third quarter. Piles up 28-0 over Milliken. Two golden opportunities for Milliken on turnovers in Pio territory, and they cannot convert. In fact, the Pios on the last one got an interception there, courtesy of Ja'Kai Bohannon. So, 1st and 10 at the 30-yard line. Twins left, single receiver right. They're going to hand it up the middle to Marcus Johnson, and he manages to fight for a couple of yards, but... Big Blue gets him down. Jackson, number 90 with the tackle there for Big Blue. As we try to get a number here. Charles Jackson, the junior from Chicago, Lincoln Park High School. 2nd and 4, actually a much better gain than I thought, a 6-yard gain. 5:07 and counting. Twins right, single receiver left. Tight end wing left in the form of Trevor Breckheimer. Johnson on Raby's left. Breckheimer goes in motion to the right. Here's a snap. It's going to go to Johnson to the right. He cuts up the middle, and he trips, but gets first down yardage again. A great little scamper there, and a nice Christopher Montgomery trips him at the last second to save a long, what could have been a touchdown even, with the space that he had. And great recognition there by Johnson, finding the opening as Big Blue is... doing the outside contain, and he managed to find a spot in a space in the middle to break free.
You know, Marcus Johnson is a very smart player for a freshman. He knows when to accelerate, when to not. He's just a very
1st and 10 play. Raby, quick pass to Johnson in the flat on the left side, and look at that. He breaks. That should have been a tackle for a loss, but he drags the tackler 6 or 7 yards downfield for a very positive gain. They're going to mark him down at about the it looks like the 48, which should make it 2nd and 4 for the Pios. 4:05 remaining. And you mentioned smarts, but also strength. I mean, he carried that day. Carried two guys there for a while.
So, ball on the left hash here, second and four. And Netchen back in on Raby's left. Tight end wing left, single receiver left, Twins right. Here's a snap. Hand off to Netchen. Oh, boy, he gets met. He gets hammered.